everyone, and welcome to another episode of From No Crypto to No Crypto. I'm your host, Crypto Coach, Blockchain Wayne. And in today's episode, I want to talk about some things that are happening in the market post, call it post-halving. Also recently attended a couple of events, NFT NYC and Token 2049, which was in Dubai. Both have some great takeaways that I want to share, give you some insight into what's happening in the market. I know there's a lot of confusion. There was a lot of expectations in this market. And I kind of covered some of those expectations in the halving podcast. So if you haven't listened to that one, make sure to go back and listen to that one. It was released pre-halving and it talked about what to expect post-halving. So let's start with NFT NYC. NFTs, many of you may or may not be a fan of NFTs. And I can't really blame you either way, because what we've seen in the market back in 2020, 2021 was really a lot of hype. A lot of NFTs were just digital art that were created and put out there. And don't get me wrong, art has its place in the world, but art value is very subjective. So there was a lot of pumps, there was a lot of dumps, and many people were just buying NFTs because they wanted the price to go up. And that's not a long-term strategy. You know, speculation can lead to adoption, but you can't merely just have speculators where everybody's just expecting to buy and the price goes up. Eventually that price will come down. So as I opened up my speech when I spoke on stage at NFT NYC, I started out with the statement that we're not going to get anywhere with NFT adoption until we stop talking about floor price. Floor price means the lowest price you can buy a certain NFT right now. Every NFT collection, if you go on NFT Marketplace, will have a floor price of what the cheapest NFT in that collection is. And that's how many people gauge their returns. People need to stop buying NFTs based on what the value is going to be. And we should focus on what do you get for it. And I've been talking about this. My first podcast on NFTs was in 2018. I did another one in 2020. And really just seeing the future potential of NFTs. And guess what? We really haven't seen it yet. There's a lot of potential out there in the space, but we've got to dial in and focus on utility and not just, oh, this NFT creation's coming out, this NFT collection's gonna be out, and I wanna buy it and flip it for a quick buck. What do I get for that NFT? There's NFTs that can give you loyalty programs, NFTs that can you can use to build around membership programs, NFTs that are represent the physical item. NFT could even just be the certificate of authenticity for that physical item. Now, I'm a big sports fan. Imagine getting a piece of signed memorabilia instead of getting that paper certificate saying, yeah, this is authentic, a certificate that could be copied or manipulated, created, that's not authentic. Imagine getting that NFT, that stamp on the blockchain that says this is when it was signed, this is when it was verified, and this is the authenticity of it. That's a big piece. Now, there's also the phygital, what we call, where the digital is a representation of the physical item. So I buy a pair of Nikes, I have them on my feet. If I decide to peruse, go through a metaverse, whether I want to shop, whether I want to explore, my avatar in there could have that same item as well. You could also see those digital items being stored in a digital closet. And so each day, before, instead of going look in your closet and trying to figure out what am I going to wear today, you could literally have all your clothes digital twins in the metaverse and see how each one of them would look paired up. So there's a lot of potential there, but we've got to stop talking about floor price. And I can tell you the NFT NYC event, it was scarce. Last year we were in the middle of a bear market. The market was very gloomy, and there was more people that attended that event last year than this year. Another thing that was missing was a lot of the NFT companies chose not to participate in this event, whether it was NFT marketplaces, large chains that have an NFT presence. There just wasn't the same presence you saw even last year when the market was down. So what does that mean? A lot of places have moved on and moved to other things, or they're focusing on not just NFT centric events. Don't get me wrong, NFT NYC, the organizers there put together a great venue, a great schedule. It's just, we've got to do better as an industry, and we got to start focusing the world on how can we utilize these NFTs and not just, oh, can I buy it and price go up? I have some NFTs in my wallet. They give me utility, whether it's membership, access to certain things. Some cases it's digital groups, in some cases actual physical locations. And guess what? Some of those I've been using for 2 years. And if that NFT went to zero tomorrow, I would not feel like I've lost anything, because I've already gotten my value worth out of that NFT usage. So it's utility. It's not really about, oh, price go up. All right, so after that, we had the halving happen while I was at Token 2049 in Dubai. Many of you may have seen Dubai was hit with once in a lifetime rain and floods. They had more rain in one day than they typically have in 2 years. And Dubai was flooded for quite a bit. And so the early part of that week, it was a bunch of side events, smaller conferences. And so a lot of those were either canceled, postponed, or very sparsely attended. But Token 2049, the event at the end of the week, the roads started to clear up, water started to go down. And that was basically a very bullish event because there was a lot of people there. There was a lot of sponsors, there was a lot of sponsorship booths, a lot of companies that were showing what they were doing, what they were building, a lot of attendees. I mean, by day two of the event, it was packed. It was like Dubai never had a flood. And it reminded me of some of those conferences I attended in 2018, 2019, where, you know, the market wasn't quite where we needed to be. We're kind of in a down market somewhat, but there was a lot of people building in the space, and you heard all these different ideas, different projects that were launching. And it really gave you hope, not so much about the price of cryptocurrency in the short term, but in the long term, that this industry is here to stay. People are building real things. And really, that's something that's been missing at a lot of the US events. And I think it's part of it due to a lot of the hostile actions that are taken by the SEC and others in government and banks in the US, to where a lot of companies just don't want to deal with the US. And that's a shame, because if it continues that way, the US is going to miss out on a lot of that innovation, a lot of that tech growth. What comes with that? A lot of jobs, a lot of money coming into the market. And so when that innovation moves to other countries, which we're seeing day by day, a lot of friends personally I know that are United States citizens that are moving and deciding to establish their companies in other countries, not because they want to avoid regulations. They just want to go where there's regulatory clarity, where they know if I set up a business and I operate, I don't want this hostile organization to come and say your business is not legal and sue you after the fact, when you're trying every bit you can to be compliant, to work within the confines of what you've been given. And so that's what I really see happening right now. So Token 2049 happens twice a year. I would definitely recommend, if you're looking to attend a crypto event, definitely try to get to that one. In the spring, it's in Dubai. In the fall, it's in Singapore. So the next one coming up is in Singapore in September. And those events, you can really get in, you can network, you can meet people. And that's the beauty of these events. It's not just, yeah, I'm there for work, I'm there trying to connect with different projects. The networking and connections that you make. I mean, I think about the connections I made in 2018, 2019, when I decided to start attending events in the cryptocurrency space. Many of those connections are, one, they're still friends today. Many have turned into business partners or led to eventually, you know, working in that space. And so it's important, if you see the future where this is going, then you definitely want to get in and attend some of those events. Now, the next event coming up in the U.S. is Consensus. I can say it's in Austin, Texas. That's one of the best events in the U.S. The top two events, I would say, in the U.S. if you're looking to attend are ETH Denver, which happened back in March, and Consensus, which typically happens in the spring, almost the summer, and it's at the end of May in Austin, Texas. Outside of that, there's a ton of events. I challenge you to get out there, because that's what I see happening in this market. Obviously, we all want our price to go up. We all want to see if you have a coin or a token or anything that you're investing, holding, or building a company around, you want to see the value go up. But it's not about a pump and dump. This is about focusing on true utility. And yes, there's a lot of garbage in the market, so you have to understand that. And because the outside world that doesn't understand crypto, they're going to point to some of these meme coins that have pumped and dumped. They're going to point to some of these projects that have died. But traditional businesses fail every day. Even some businesses have great ideas. They don't really make it. Whether it's marketing, whether it's awareness, whether it's location. And, you know, the same thing is true in the cryptocurrency world. So you have to really, one, mitigate your risk, understand your risk, get in and learn. That's the other reason I wanted to do this podcast, other than featuring somebody else today. Truly learn about the technology and how it can be used. Don't listen to the naysayers, those that are in the media that are saying NFTs are dead, those that are saying, oh, crypto is not going to go anywhere, it's just a scam. Those people either don't understand it, or their industry or business is threatened by it. So always be subjective, like especially when you see the amount of energy, the amount of concern and energy going against something, then this might be something you want to look at. And that's the way I've lived my life, is when there's a lot of negative attention, not just saying, oh, they dismiss it once and they never talk about it again. But the fact that they continue to talk about it mean that people think it's a threat. And also there's really something to this. So it's definitely best to get in, understand, learn. Attend events, look for educational on. Be wary of anyone that's asking you to invest for you, that's wanting you to send them money. But there are a lot of great educational programs out there. We have one group of us that have been building content for companies for years. We're going to be launching one that's going to have some basic free education called Learn Vault, and it's actually going to give you access to some free courses, some free resources, and be available for consulting, because sometimes you need to make sure you have the right person to ask a question. You go to social media, or you go to Professor Google and try to search for information. That's how I find out a lot of people end up getting scammed. So building a safe space where someone can get questions answered, that's what we're looking to build. But there's also a lot of other great educational projects out there. A lot of exchanges have learn and earn programs to where you can actually learn a little bit about crypto and earn some free tokens or coins as you do that. So jump into those and really look into, okay, how can this technology be used to change the world? Not what can I put $5,000 in and it go up to $500,000? I mean, obviously, yeah, we'd all want that to happen, but the chances that happen, that's your gambling, and it's more like a lottery ticket. Finding out how this technology can be used, where it can really be utilized to change the world, and figuring out, okay, which companies are solving those problems? What companies are making it easier to utilize and adopt cryptocurrency and blockchain technology today? Because the technology is great, but the user experience hasn't been that great. So there's you know, companies like FIO and others that are building products and tools and resources to make it easier for people. And then where does it solve a real world problem? Where is there an issue that blockchain technology or cryptocurrency can solve today? Obviously, money is broken across the world, so that's the easiest one to look at first. But there's other instances where centralized networks and centralized control can be fixed. Voting, for instance, we're on the precipice of another election in the United States coming up, a presidential election, and the trust in the election system, in the voting system, is at an all-time low after last election. Now, I'm not saying either way whether you believe it was rigged or it wasn't. I'm not even going there. I'm just saying that trust in that system is at an all-time low. And what can restore trust but an open, transparent system that everybody can see that's not controlled by a single entity? It's blockchain technology. That's got to be utilized right. Not all blockchains are created equal. If I was to get together with a group of 10 friends and we launched a blockchain network and we 10 of us are running, each running a node, there's 10 nodes, we can call that a blockchain. That's not as decentralized as other blockchains. That's, in fact, it's still very centralized. It's a little bit better than one person controlling everything. But the more the network is spread apart, aggregated to where not one person or entity can control it, the better that system is. And so you're going to see a lot of things come on the scene, I think, in the next year, year and a half. You're going to have another hype cycle where a lot of projects that don't have a lot of substance are going to pump in price. And just understand that if you decide to invest in any of those, always have a plan to take profit. Always have a plan to get out if the price goes up. Because I've seen so many people, and I've done it personally over the years, where you see these projects and maybe they're not doing anything unique, but you know a lot of people are talking about it. So you put some money in it, price goes up, you think it's going to go up forever, so you don't take any profit. And then when the next bear market comes, price is going down, and you know you had a lot of money that you could have potentially made, but you never realized any of those gains. So understand that. And that's a lot of things that you can learn by paying attention to the market, by understanding, and not just listening to a few talking heads on mainstream media or even in crypto news. Get a different perspective, multiple different perspectives of crypto news. All right, so let's talk about post-halving now, because I've seen this on social media, whether it's on X or Instagram or Facebook groups, where a lot of people are saying, what happened to the halving? I thought it was going to be this big explosive event. And I talked about this in the halving podcast that I did pre-halving. It's not going to be like a switch is going to flip and we're going to say, oh, prices are going up. We're going to hit, Bitcoin's now going to hit $100,000, $200,000 just because the supply that's being released on the market got cut overnight. The halving is not an instant switch. If you look back at historically, yeah, I gave you examples of what the price was of Bitcoin during the halving and then what it was a year, year and a half later, but it's not like it jumped up right away. If you look last halving, happened in 2020, the market didn't really see like massive pumps until early 2021. So it was almost 6 to 7 months later after the halving that we really saw the market start to take off, because things are still kind of in that unknown. And you're always going to hear things every halving cycle. They're like, oh, it was different this time. It was different last time. They're like, oh, we didn't have these wars going on now. That we didn't have those going on 4 years ago. No, but what do we have 4 years ago? We had COVID. Everybody thought the world was ending. And 4 years to that, there was another situation and people were like, oh, this is different than the time before. But just know it's simple economics, right? The demand for Bitcoin is going up. the supply being released of Bitcoin is going down, so it's drastically reduced. More and more people are looking and companies, and now ETFs being approved, where Bitcoin demand has continued to rise. And it's only a matter of time before that price squeezes to where you're going to have to see the price match the demand that's out there on the market. And that's what you see every halving cycle. And then after that, a lot of people are looking to say, okay, which altcoins, which cryptocurrencies other than Bitcoin are going to go up? And that's where there's a lot of speculation, a lot of hype. But there's really, there's money to be made in those, but you want to be careful, mitigate your risk. Don't bet the farm on a meme coin or something that just came on the scene and they're making a lot of big promises, but they haven't built anything yet. Just know that there's risk involved. And the more you move away from Bitcoin, the more risk there is. But that's no different than any other investment strategy. People that have been trading stock market for years understand the risk of there's less risk in blue chip stocks and there's more risk in your penny stocks, your ones that have the potential, but there's also potential for more gains there. But they're okay. They understand that some of those investments may go to zero or almost to zero. And you have to have that understanding. I think that's what's missing in the cryptocurrency market. People are thinking they're just throwing at it. This is the future. Price is always going to go up when the market's hot. And then when the market's going down, everybody's doom and gloom and the price is going down. It's never going to recover. You have to look at historically what's happened in the market and understand that. So post-halving, I personally think we're going to see we're in this lull. A lot of coins and tokens right now are dipping. We peaked again right around 70,000 with Bitcoin, dropped down. The reason I give Bitcoin prices is because most everything moves in correlation with Bitcoin. And you see now like the market, so there's a little bit of gloom in the market. People are expecting the price to go lower. And maybe it will. I mean, we're not going to hit these new, much higher prices that people want to see in the market until there's some pullback, until there's some latency in the market. And I don't think we're really going to see a massive boom with Bitcoin price where that demand squeeze, that supply and demand squeeze actually pops. I don't think we're going to see that here a month after the halving or 2 months after the halving. It's going to be, I think, late summer to maybe even end of the year. November, December is when you could potentially see it, or potentially a year later. If you think back to the halving in 2016, it wasn't until summer to fall of 2017 that we actually saw some more attention in the market. But if you take this time while the market's in a lull, identify what you like, what you think it could be good, what projects are really doing something unique, and then also learning about the market, learning how the market operates, learning how to accumulate cryptocurrency and what's the difference between wallets and your different wallets. And we have different resources for all of those. And understand all that. When the market does begin to heat up again, you're going to be ready. I mean, let's face it. We did see a decent run up over the last year or so where, especially since the Bitcoin ETFs, where we saw Bitcoin really reach a new all-time high. Most of the time, that doesn't happen until after the halving. So this cycle is slightly different, but there's a lot of similarities. So you got to look at it. History doesn't always repeat itself, but it does rhyme very often. And understand that. Look at past adoption cycles, because we only think about when it becomes mainstream, right? Cryptocurrency is still not mainstream until I can walk into a store or anywhere today and pay with crypto. Then we haven't quite reached adoption. The internet was around for many, many years before the mainstream public started to use it. And it was those tools that made it easier that led to that adoption. AI, everybody's thinking AI just busted on the scene. AI has been around for a while. It's just there's finally tools that are very user-friendly that now your everyday person can utilize some of those tools. And so that's why we're seeing an AI boom as well. And so cryptocurrency, I mean, we're talking about a new money style. Many people have only been used to one type of currency in our lifetime, and it's a dollar. So to introduce something different, that takes time. But think back to 60, 70 years ago when this little plastic card was introduced and how crazy people thought they were. Why would you want to use a card when I can just pay with money, right? And how long did it take for places to start accepting those credit cards? And it was a big deal when they finally started accepting it many years later. I think it was over 20 years before you started to see it really start to catch adoption. And so we're still early in this cryptocurrency space. Let's face it, Bitcoin's only been around 15 years, and there's a lot more to come. So I challenge you to, my call to action at the end of this podcast is to take the time to really understand. And I'll tell you the path I tell people to go down. If you don't understand how Bitcoin can have money or how some of these cryptocurrencies can have money, you have to look at the history of money. Many of us, like I said, are only used to one currency in our lifetime, but study the history of money from pre-dollar when it was shells and many different things and salt, and then it became gold coins and silver coins. And then eventually, how did we move to a paper currency? Paper currency was actually just created because it wasn't feasible to transport around large quantities of gold. So the paper currency was a note that was redeemable for gold. And then understand how the fiat system turned and what's the history of every fiat system that's been in existence. And then you'll understand why prices continue to go up in the U.S. and other countries. Why does everything become more and more expensive? Is it corporate greed? Not so much. Not really when you look at what's happening with the currency supply, the purchasing power, the dollar. And you realize that when you go to certain other countries. You go to some countries and your dollar can go farther. You go to other countries and your dollar doesn't go very far, and vice versa. If you're living in those countries and you come somewhere else, that's why there's a disparity. So understand the history of money, where it's come from, and then start with Bitcoin, because every other altcoin or cryptocurrency has been designed to do something that Bitcoin doesn't. Bitcoin is a great blockchain. It is the hardest money out there. It is the best hard currency and probably going to be probably one of the major reserve currencies of the world before you know it. But it can't do everything. It can't. And that's where other blockchains come in, other cryptocurrencies come in. And there's always a trade-off. Yes, Bitcoin, again, is the most decentralized network. Some of these networks out there that are blockchains are not as decentralized as Bitcoin. They do have some vulnerabilities. But it's all about trust. Can you build trust? And do you need that? The same currency that I use to pay for property, I want to buy property with crypto, I'm going to use Bitcoin. But if I want to walk into a store and I want to buy a candy bar, I'm not as worried about security as I was when I was sending a substantial amount of Bitcoin to purchase that property. I want it quick. I want it easy. I want it simple. And that's where different blockchains and currencies can come in. And then some blockchains are going to have their own little ecosystem where the currency is really just designed by those that are using the network. And there could be value and there's going to be some speculation in there, but the long-term value of that is going to be, what is that circular economy? Why do people want to buy it? Why do people want to use it? Why do people want to spend it? Why would people want to sell it? And more than just speculation, more than just price go up. And that's where you're going to see a lot of value really come into the market as well. So we're still early. Many of you may be watching this, or maybe you've heard about crypto and Bitcoin and you watched it over the years go up and down and up and down, and you think you missed it. Oh no, I heard about it when it was less than $1,000, and then I passed on it when it was $20,000, and then I passed on it when it was $70,000, and now it's back at, say, $62,000, $63,000, but you still feel like you missed out because you didn't get it at $1,000. What are you going to look at the past Bitcoin cycles? Look at that. You know, how are you going to feel? And my biggest thing, if you have money that is sitting in dollars, it's not in hard assets. Hard assets would be like property. It could be gold and silver. Bitcoin is a hard asset. What are you going to do? Because your currency is also getting weaker day by day. Your purchasing power, your currency is getting weaker day by day. So where do you choose to put your money? And that's what you want to evaluate. And that's where, for me, Bitcoin and a select amount, select few cryptocurrencies just makes sense in the long run, because I'm betting that you know, the current financial systems are not going to get better, that we need not just an overhaul, a complete redo of those systems, because they've been manipulated and centralized and controlled over time. And I think that Bitcoin and a few others give us that hope, that premise of what the future can be. And then they can also help eradicate some of the centralization and corruption in other industries, in government, in business, you know, in whether it's trade. There's a lot of different things that this technology can help us with. So double down on the education, jump in, look to learn. Also look out, like I said, we've got some educational content we're going to release, you know, under learnvault.io. That website's going to be live soon. It's going to have a free basic course. You'll be able to contact us. And other than that, also, if you're utilizing cryptocurrency today, or you think you will be in the future, make sure you check out FIO.net. You can get a free handle that you can link to your different wallet addresses, to where you can send and receive your cryptocurrency assets as easy as sending an email. No mistakes. If you type it wrong, it won't let you send it. If you type it right, but you're trying to send something on a network you don't have link, they won't let you send it. So stop some of those crucial mistakes that we hear so many new people make of sending crypto to the wrong address, sending it on the wrong blockchain. So make sure to check that as well. And also look back at some of other podcasts. We feature projects and products and companies that are really creating real solutions in the world today. This is not just about speculation. This is not say, here, the latest, greatest, hypiest meme coin, just buy it and price go up and take a gamble. No, we're saying focus on where the utility is out there. And that's what it's going to continue to build. And then when you have that belief built in it, when Bitcoin dips, for me, that's a buying opportunity. When FIO and others other that I'm holding dip, and I have belief in the long-term viability of that project, I don't get discouraged. It's a buying opportunity for me because I know the long-term roadmap, the long-term viability of these types of projects. So double down on your education. That's the best thing I can say. And also, if you can, get out to some of these events. There are events in the U.S., across the world, so make sure to see what's happening around you. And I'll even drop a link to some of the events that I've got on our radar for the rest of 2024. You'll see that down in the comments. And check it out and hope to see you at some of those. If you're going to head out to them, let us know. That's it, everyone. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.